set this up. Mitch is a guy who's a gardener, a landscaper, and he never thought he'd end up falling in love, right? It hadn't been a big part of his life, but he met the perfect person.
Yeah.
And so loves his wife, loves his work, and he's not a guy who's very wealthy, but he does tend to the gardens and landscaping of very wealthy people.
Yeah.
And he's working when he gets a cell phone call. Mm-hmm. And, okay, you be the kidnapper. Go ahead.
Okay, let's imagine a cell phone. And this guy, he answers the phone, and the guy says, "We have your wife. You can get her back for $2 million cash."
And then he goes on to say,
You've got until midnight Wednesday.
This is nuts. This is, Mitch says, this is nuts. Where would I get $2 million?
You'll find a way.
It isn't possible. I'm a gardener. I've got maybe 11,000 in the bank.
Just so that you'll know we're serious. See that guy across the street?
Still holding the phone to his ear, Mitch turned, saw a man walking a dog. The summer day had a porcelain glaze. Rifle fire shattered the stillness, and the dog walker went down, shot in the head.
Midnight Wednesday, Mitch. We're damn serious.
Love that setup. And so here's this guy who's gardening, and he looks up, and the guy across the street goes down with a rifle. And then that's the first quandary that the character has, because he's got to find a way. First, he's got to process what he's getting, and then he's got to understand that he's got, you know, 60 hours to come up with $2 million. And what do you do with the guy that's dead across the street? Do you not call the police and become a suspect, or do you call the police and not tell them everything that you know? And I just love the way you do this. You start torturing this guy right away.
Well, we're that's sort of somebody said to me once, I love the way you write. This is somebody who has a, this was a critic, and who said, and wasn't being critical, was actually being complimentary and saying, I love the way you write, everything else, but why do you write this stuff? Why do you write suspense? Why don't you write something important if you can write this well? And I said, look, the key thing in all our lives is suspense. It's the one central thing, because none of us know what's going to happen to us tomorrow, an hour from now, next week. We deny this. We live in denial of it because it's almost impossible to live a life if you think about it too much. But the reality is we live on a high wire, and suspense is the central element of our life. So I think if you're going to write realistically about life, suspense has to be an element of it. And well, so I'll always write suspense, and I don't think it's any less than anything else.
And you touch on something, though, that thematically here, which I think many of us can relate to, which is what would you do to save the ones you love? And Mitch has to try to start calculating how could he get $2 million. He knows these people are serious. He saw the dog walker go down. So he knows this isn't some sort of, you know, gag or something, somebody on a lark. So he's got to come up with that. And that means, do I rob banks? What crimes do I commit? How am I going to get from point A to point B? And I think that's a really interesting question to ask of any spouse, but in this case, the husband.
Yeah, well, of course, these kidnappers know things he doesn't know, and I won't give anything away, but they know how he can get the money, but he doesn't. And he thinks initially that probably what they might want him to do is rob a bank. He thinks of that actual story that was in the news a year or two ago about the fellow who was necklaced with explosives and sent to rob a bank, and then it was decapitated when the police caught up with him so that they would never be able to trace him back to the people who set him up. But that, of course, it's nothing that simple. There's just mysteries in here that he'll slowly discover.
Well, and so when you're going down this road, what brings you to that point where you come up with a character and a premise? Is that something that comes out of your own life? Are you sitting up, you know, staring at the ceiling one night wondering, how much do I love my wife? Yeah, I love her a lot, but what would I do really? I mean, if push came to shove, what would you really do?
It's this book raises sort of moral questions, like what would you do for love? Would you die? Would you kill? I think more people would say, for a beloved wife, a beloved child, I would die. It's harder to say, how quickly would you kill? that's a more serious moral question. So those things. But where does it come from?
Yeah, I mean, I get the general, but what about, I mean, at the risk of getting into the personal thing, that if you're not comfortable with it, but I mean, is it something you thought about, or you were actually weighing out what you would do? Because it's made me think about what I would do.
Well, yeah, it's that isn't where the story came from, but I don't mind saying, you know, my wife and I were high school sweethearts, and we've been married a long time, and it's been a fantastic relationship, and it doesn't for a moment occur to me that if you had to die for her or you had to kill for her, you would do it. I wouldn't even have to think about that particularly. I mean, the consequence afterwards, well, if you died, there would not be any consequence
right.
afterwards. But the killing afterwards would have an interesting moral consequence you'd have to deal with. But no, I think when you're that very close to somebody, and I do believe this comes back to my optimism, that the world we live in, it's very hip to be depressed, it's very hip to be cynical, but what's hip isn't always intelligent or reasonable, and I think I'm simply not hip in that regard. I think that I'm very positive about people, and I do think that around us are what I would call everyday heroes who, when push comes to shove, would step up and do what's necessary, and we've seen that. We saw that at 9/11, we saw it at other times, and we tend to not think about that. We like to go on in our lives and not think about the danger that might be looming around the next corner, but I think a lot of us can step up and do what's necessary.
Around the next corner or in our deepest recesses, I mean, part of, I think, what scares me the most is knowing what I am capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And that terrifies me because I don't want to think that I am, but I know I am.
Yeah. It's, where this book came from, to answer that question in a sense, was the didn't start with this little premise of the kidnapping and everything. It started with, for a couple of years, I wanted to write a story about a guy, it just was in my head, a guy who is raised as a total materialist, whose parents were a couple of psychologists who tell him there is no such thing as clear good and clear evil, everything is shades of gray, life essentially is meaningless, and so forth. And who's a nice guy and a good guy, but has been raised under that kind of view of the world. And, however, one day he's confronted with a situation, and I didn't know what it would be, that shows him that evil is real, that there's some evil that psychologies can't explain, that is simply stark, it takes pride in itself, it preens itself, and it's real and solid as a rock. And that when he begins to accept that and see that there is real evil in the world, he also begins to see this mysterious depth to life, and he begins to appreciate more than he ever did before the beauty of life, so that through a recognition of evil, he opens up to a much deeper recognition and appreciation of life in general. And I never knew who that character was going to be for a couple of years, and then one day this idea for this kidnapping story hit me, and I thought, whoa, that's the character for that story.